the rest of the story. The April moon has risen, bathing the great river in its banks in spectral light, and for a timeless time the stillness of the night remained unbroken. And then a distant voice, urgent and echoing, "To the nets, men, the fish are running." And in moments the voices of other fishermen chimed like bells, answering the call, announcing to one and all the season of spawning was upon them. This fishery I'm describing, boasting 10 miles of shoreline, was soon alive with nets and boats and eager harvesters arranging them. Seine nets, they were called, many of them 500 feet long, some stretching from boat to boat and others from boat to shore, arresting the silvery tide of herring and shad, hauling them in and dropping again. And the master fisherman, the owner of this, the most lucrative fishery on the strand, was a man named George. And this is the rest of the story. For a month or so each spring, the river brimmed with bass and carp and perch and sturgeon and shad and herring and more. There was no time to waste during this high season when it seemed there were more fish than there was water. And so through those few weeks, George's men fished day and night, taking in more than 1 million herring alone. The restless threshing of the spawning fish sometimes transformed the water's surface into a vast expanse of gleaming white, an astonishing sight by moonlight, a vivid memory in quiet times. George's fishery. It included a packing plant from which his product was shipped all over the world. A product renowned for its quality, for it said that the barrels that bore his stamp brought twice the price of those from any other operation in the region. With 10 miles of shoreline, George's fishery harbored an amazing variety of vessels, sailors and schooners, and yawls, even a brigantine for voyages through open sea. And so did George love the deep that in the off seasons he would often sail away by himself, sometimes for weeks at a time, sleeping on the deck of his craft beneath the stars and spending his days fishing. Could he return to his fishery today? He would find it much as he had left it, well tended and ship shape, and yet should he cast a line from the riverbank, the hook would return to him undisturbed. For the gleaming, teeming hordes are gone now, ensnared long ago in the unyielding net of pollution. So the fishing business in these parts is no more. Yet don't let it be forgot that once upon a time, the April moon shone down and touched the churning waters with blue fire, and fishermen sang and hauled their nets and searched the majestic stream until dawn for a harvest then known and purchased and respected around the world. A harvest that bore the insignia of one of the largest fisheries in the country. And that largest fishery, that shining place on the Potomac River, was called Mount Vernon. And the owner, the proprietor, the professional and amateur master fisherman was George Washington. And now, you know, the rest of the story.